Welcome to the Fabulous 413. I'm Monty Belmonte.
And I'm Khalees Smith. A jam-packed show today with Live Music Friday. 12-year-old musical phenom Louis Phipps joins us. A preview of the Harvest Festival at the Leverett Village Co-op as well, paired with a nice glass of wine with co-op manager and sommelier Ken Washburn.
And our continued celebration of Khalees Smith's new book,
it's
written
weird,
with Holly Black. Sir Morian is what it's called. Khalees will be talking with one of our Media Lab fellows from NEPM.
But first,
time for a local hero spotlight with Jacob Nelson from CESA, the local hero, folks. And what's your name?
Emily Landeck.
And we're here at Riverland Farm in Sunderland, where, full disclosure, back in 2002 when I moved to Western Mass, was my first farm. Didn't know what a farm share was. I barely spent any time on a farm as somebody who grew up in the eastern part of the state. And we immediately jumped on and became members of Riverland Farm, getting fresh vegetables all throughout the summer. No longer doing the summer farm share, though.
Correct. We do a winter share for the months of November, December, and January. And then we sell to lots of other grocery stores, co-ops in the area, which is actually where you would mostly find our produce.
And now we're going to go take a tour of what is one of the main crops of your winter share, which is sweet potatoes.
Delicious sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes!
We pick up all the sweet potatoes out of the field. They all go into crates, and then they come into this high tunnel or this greenhouse. This is actually our propagation greenhouse that then like flips over into storage curing. And the sweet potatoes have to cure for like a minimum of 2 weeks before we even sell them. Part of that is having to do with trying to make their skins a little bit tougher. You know, like if you see a banged up sweet potato in the grocery store, it's like a little less appealing. So we try and toughen up their skins, but it also actually makes the sugars consolidate a little bit more. It makes them sweeter.
Is this a common thing that a lot of people do with sweet potatoes? Or is this something that you've kind of developed?
Curing is really common.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody probably has their own system. Yeah.
Are you just doing sweet potatoes or are you doing sweet potatoes and yams?
Just sweet potatoes. So yams are not actually, I don't think we would be able to grow them here. They're not the same family. And they're very, very much a tropical thing.
Why do we think of them as the same? I think so many people do.
Because they look very similar. Like they have similar textures, similar sweetness, and are often confused in supermarkets where people don't necessarily know the difference.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll get sweet potatoes and they're actually yams. Usually when you find them and they have less fibers in them, they're yams and not sweet potatoes.
Yeah. It's like when you accidentally buy a plantain thinking you're going to get a banana.
Mm. Yeah, but then you can fry the plantain.
That's
exactly
true.
What's your favorite way to eat sweet potatoes?
Oh my gosh. So we did start growing a new variety, which is the Japanese sweet potato.
I love those! Those are the best!
I'll show you. They are purple skin, white flesh, and I honestly just like put them whole in the oven. They're creamy and delicious, but otherwise, I've used them for everything. Like I use them, some people use them as substitutes for bread a lot, like in Whole30 diets, all that stuff. But it did make me realize like, oh, actually like put an egg on a slice of a sweet potato. It's amazing. You know, like you can just kind of like put it in anything.
It makes a really nice Benedict.
It's really good. You want to see the unveiling?
Let's unveil the sweet potatoes in this high tunnel hothouse where they're curing and getting even sweeter.
Everything that you can see like all the way up to the end there is fully crates of sweet potatoes.
Yeah, milk crates, big milk crates.
Big milk crates,
filled
yeah.
Filled with sweet potatoes.
Yeah, bulb crates, I think, is maybe how people would think of them. We run them through our washer, so they get some water on them, which actually helps with the curing process. Like, humidity can actually really help with the curing process. But yeah, Khalees, you want to see the...
Let's go see the Japanese ones.
Yes. And there's trucks that just go through the neighborhood selling them just roasted. Like you can buy them by the bag wrapped in foil and just eat them just
like
by themselves.
Nuts.
Yes.
It's really cool. They're really different. And when they come out of the ground, they're like hot pink. And it's crazy. They like then cure to be kind of purple, but then
they're
you can
like
see
white
the flesh
onion.
Is like
oh, yes.
bright
snap
white,
one and a half and there it
crazy.
Is.
Which is crazy, yeah.
The texture is so different from American sweet potatoes. Like it's just, it tastes thick and custardy.
Yeah.
And they're just like a little bit sweeter. They're so, so nice on their own. I rarely ever do anything to them, but I do sometimes substitute these for regular potatoes in stew because they're just sweet enough.
And they don't melt as quickly as sweet potatoes. They hold their form a little bit better, like a regular potato.
Yeah, yeah.
How are customers liking them? I'm imagining that people might not be as accustomed to them.
Totally. Yeah. It's definitely like an education moment. And it's one of those things where like with the CSA, you have to be like, trust me, just like try it, right? You just trust me and try it. And then they come back and they're like, do we get more of those?
I'm so happy that so many that farms around here started growing them because it was so hard to find them.
Yeah, these can be for you.
Give the gift of Japanese sweet potatoes this holiday season.
Every kiss begins with K.
Khalees is thrilled.
I'm so happy.
This is not going to influence our coverage.
No.
hard-hitting journalism here at Riverland Farm in Sunderland.
I try real hard not to just make them into pie, because the other thing that I've started doing is swapping those in for sweet potatoes when I make sweet potato pie, because it makes the texture even better.
Yeah, but what color does it come out?
It still comes out like pretty like orange, because I do a mix. It's not purely Mirakami's. It's just there for like balancing out some of the sweetness and improving the texture, and it does perfectly in both.
As much as I don't want to leave this high tunnel greenhouse because it's so nice and warm in here.
But now it's refreshing when we come outside, like when you're in the sauna and then you go outside into the snow.
We're back to the fall.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful day.
Do you cut, sell, or use the leaves from the sweet potatoes?
It's so funny. The first farm I worked at, the farmer who I farmed with, he taught me about that. And they're amazing. It's delicious.
They are.
We don't sell it. I have never actually like leaned into what that would look like. I think that they're also very tender, and so I think it wouldn't be a very easy, like, wholesalable. I think if we had a summer CSA, I would definitely force it on people.
Oh, yeah. What would you do with those leaves?
You saute them. You stir fry them. They're used a lot in Southeast Asia and Western Africa in stews and stuff. They're just like a nice kind of stewing green. People sleep on them because they go for the tuber, and they forget that there's this whole, they or don't know that there's this whole other part of the plant that is edible and actually really nice. It's green tasting because it is a green, but like they're soft and velvety.
Yeah. Kind of like a better spinach.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout out to Khalees for always bringing up the interesting parts of plants that you didn't know that you could eat, but you can. All of the times that I have trusted Khalees, I have been very satisfied. So just, dear listeners, I want to share that with you. If you're curious about Japanese sweet potatoes or their leaves, trust Khalees.
Yeah, trust Khalees. She does know what's up. How big is Riverland Farm? How much farm are you farming?
We grow on 40 acres of certified organic land. We have this kind of plot where we're standing is about 12 acres, and then the rest of that acreage is made up with 8 other sites throughout the valley. So some just down the road and then all the way up to Montague, kind of right across from Red Fire Farm.
And I think that's a thing that a lot of people know about, but maybe if you're not ensconced in the world of farming here in Western Mass, contiguous farming land is hard to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you compare us to Eastern Mass and it's not even we seem contiguous to them, you know? It's really patchwork. I mean, you look at the town map of Sunderland, the lines just like, they basically are like zigzag diagonal lines of like all these different families that own all this different land. And so, you know, we have one piece of land that we have three landowners on it. So we pay 3 different checks for one piece of land. So that's fun.
And sweet potatoes are a big crop for you. Brussels sprouts, which we'll go see some folks harvesting of those in a couple minutes here, are another one. What else are some of the main things that you're growing?
Right now, we have a lot of carrots. We do a lot of like storage carrots. We have a lot of cabbage in the fall. We also often will have beets, though they really struggled this year. This was not a beet year. They don't like swimming. They don't like their feet to be wet. And there's a lot of diseases that beets kind of take on really readily when it's really wet. So we don't have beets this year, but it's okay. Other people do. It's been an odd growing year, you know? And so we're kind of like, the sweet potatoes loved it. The carrots loved it. The Brussels sprouts are doing great. So we're kind of like leaning into those few things.
Tell us about how the wet summer, the flooding affected Riverland here on 47 in Sunderland.
We do have a lot of land along rivers, but the Connecticut River did not come up quite high enough to get to our fields, which was great. Thank goodness. However, people might remember that there were a couple different weekends in a row where we got over 4 inches of rain in a matter of hours. And so actually where we're standing, you can kind of see, surprisingly, where the Brussels sprouts are was under a foot of water for 24 hours,
not
twice.
Not because of flooding, but because of rain that came.
Rain.
Wow.
It was insane. We lost about 75% of our watermelons, which is one of our biggest summer crops, because they literally would just melt in the field. They just destroyed themselves.
Too much water, not enough melon.
Ironically, too much water for your watermelons is not great.
And they actually become less sweet. It was not a watermelon year.
Should we go meet the Brussels sprouts?
Yeah. All right, let me shove these in the washroom and then we can hop in a car and just drive down. Unless
cool.
you want to ride a tractor.
What?
Kind of.
Is that an option?
I mean,
I don't think we can all fit on a tractor.
I don't think we can all fit on it.
Oh, you guys can come in. Come see the washroom.
Now we're going into the washroom at Riverland Farm in Sunderland with Emily.
Oh, they're about to start a big crate wash. Sanitize all of the crates that we use. But yeah, this is Tori. She runs our washroom.
Hi.
Are you Monty?
I am.
Oh,
thanks.
Otherwise, how would I know?
Right?
She's fangirled hard. That was good.
What were you listening to that you shut off?
Talking Heads Radio.
Oh,
yeah. There we go. Keep it light and fun in here if we can.
Fun.
Get a groove.
Get a groove, yeah. Nice to meet you.
I can't see.
That's the first time somebody told me they followed me on Instagram. I guess so. I didn't even know. I don't even do anything on Instagram. I got memed on Instagram when I was in New Orleans because I had a shirt on from Kung Fu Dumplings in Provincetown. And the back of the shirt says, "I hate dumplings." Just kidding. Can you imagine? So some random person saw me wearing this in New Orleans, shared it on their huge Instagram account, and then it was like shared like hundreds of thousands of times.
Whoa.
Then it became a meme in and of itself because somebody replaced dumplings with frogs. I hate frogs. Just kidding. Can you imagine? From this like frog fan Instagram account. So my children are all like, "Dad, you're like Instagram famous now." All because I wore this weird shirt to the Preservation Hall in New Orleans.
It's all women on your farm.
It is. We are a women-run farm, and I think that attracts women.
Was that by design or by chance?
Maybe both.
We'll say both.
I think it's awesome. I feel like it's one of the most like empowering things to be like, yeah, this 40-acre farm is run by women. And not just like run, like it is like done by women. And that is, I think, in a traditionally very masculine world in general, but also like field, no pun intended. It's really cool to be able to be like, yeah, we're women run, and we, you know, this big group of women kicks butt every day.
Hell yeah.
Go in one car?
Sure, let's go. Shotgun! Can we squeeze in here?
I think we can. I forgot there was a car seat.
Is that a car seat for your baby?
I forgot about my child.
Yeah, that's my 2-year-old.
You just bought this farm in 2020, which is a great year to get involved in this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Full time. How is it balancing motherhood and farminghood?
You know, it's a challenge, but also having a kid is the best thing in the world.
Oh, no.
It's been so cool to like have him come into this world and get to like, he comes down to the farm every once in a while and he has like, you know, he's like the crew's biggest fan club. He loves all of them. They all love him too, which is fun.
There's Big River Chestnuts.
There's Big River where they chestnuts.
Roast chestnuts. And now we're driving down 47 to the Brussels sprout field for Riverland.
What are some of the other farms that are your neighbors here, Emily?
So this is Pachesnik land. He's since passed away, and one of his former employees is now running the farm right now, which is great.
That's me not putting my seatbelt on, everybody. I'm gonna put my seatbelt on so we don't hear the beeping.
It's probably me too. Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, it gets really angry.
It really yells at you.
See,
it wasn't
safe.
You, Marty, it was me. Here we are, right next to the police station.
Do they help?
That'd be fun.
That's a good question. Writ large.
I guess this isn't the field that we pay 3 landowners for, but it is one of our larger tracts of land.
Huge tracts of land!
And we got it a couple years ago, and it's been so clutch to have it so close to the farm. Because in the past, so much of our larger tracts of land have been like way up in Montague. And so we're like doing these large, big blocks of things all the way up there. And can you imagine just driving crops back and forth? Oh man, it's such a pain. And so it's been so nice to have these bigger tracts.
Every time you say tracts of land, I think of Monty Python, and I'm sorry.
I have already thought of that. And
the amount of times we quote Monty Python in this farm is kind of
huge.
Tracts of land. They sank into the swamp. So I built a second one. That sank into the swamp. So I built a third one. That burned down, fell over, then sank into the swamp. But the fourth one.
This is why Monty had a CSA farm share here.
I loved the huge tracts of land.
So yeah, this is the Brussels sprouts, or this is one of the Brussels sprout fields. This section that we're in is partially harvested. And so we do 2 different types of harvest for the Brussels sprouts, full stock, right? So you see that in grocery stores. It's definitely more of the like trendy way to buy a Brussels sprout, right? It's like buying a bunch of carrot instead of loose carrots. It's pretty, and they're like 2 feet tall, and you have all the sprouts on them.
They look like some sort of weapon.
Absolutely.
When you buy them like that.
You could club someone with them.
Like a lightsaber. It's a weird, nubby lightsaber.
You know, some people grow purple Brussels sprouts. You could have 2 varieties of lightsabers.
Oh, my God. So then you can see if you're Sith or Jedi.
You are not a Jedi yet.
And then the other way that we sell them is loose. And that's what these guys are doing right now. We can go up there and say hi to them.
Yeah. What? What are you still? You're working on the farm that you used to own? Farmer Megan,
hi.
You're my first farmer.
I know. How are you?
Good. Good to see you again.
It's great to see you, too.
Megan Arquin, previous owner of Riverland Farm.
What are you doing?
We are hand-picking Brussels sprouts off of stalks. If you look out ahead, we came through here and blitzed this field. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, looks like you did a good job.
Buckets and buckets of like loose, little, tiny Brussels sprouts, you know? And then they all go to the grocery store, and I see people display them in like big bins, basically, and people just scoop Brussels sprouts for themselves.
Who else are you farming with? Who are these folks?
Well, this is Megan.
Hi.
Hey, Megan.
This is May over here.
Hi, May.
This is Dilma and Gladys.
Hola.
But yeah, these guys are trucking along in the sprouts today.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No. Yes.
Was it a hard decision to sell the farm and then come back and work on the farm?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't hard. You know, I thought, what might that feel like? But Emily and I have worked together for a number of years before we sold the farm, and so I knew I. She's actually, I've told her this, but she's one of my favorite people to farm with. So that felt like an easy decision.
Yeah.
So that, and then it was really important to be supportive to the transition and see this farm into its new, you know, iteration. And so that felt really important to me. And then it just kind of made sense.
So it's a really nice day out here. It's sunny, but this is the time of year, Megan and Emily, when you're talking about like every day you're waking up and like it might frost tomorrow.
Yeah. And well, yeah. So there's sort of this, maybe snow next week.
Yeah, right.
certain elevations.
You know, will it, won't it, emotional whiplash of fall is the moment of farming that we're in right now.
Even like last week, someone was like, yeah, we got a frost next week. And I was like, not ready yet, you know, but we saw the sweet potatoes in the greenhouse. And that's one of our big pushes pre-frost, because they are not frost tolerant. Whereas something like Brussels sprouts, they're kind of on the edge, a little bit lower temperatures they'll handle. Carrots, they can handle really cold. They actually get better with the cold. So we start to look at this time of year where we're like, we're bringing some stuff in. You know, we're kind of like prioritizing, like, what are we going to bring in? What can we like hold off? I do feel like every morning I look at my weather app and I'm like pretty sure that it's going to be 32 tomorrow. They're going to be like, surprise, frost tonight.
Unlike your home garden where a frost might mean that most things are done for the year, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely.
As the year wraps up here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, Thanksgiving is actually a really big market for at least the food that we grow. And so these next couple of weeks actually are a really, really big push.
Do you cover crop any of the land that you've got?
We're actually standing on the little bit that we did cover crop, which you can see there's a clover underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the brassicas are really small in August, usually we can get a clover down. So you want to like clean them up, and then you get clover down, and then it'll actually, this will grow out really nicely in the spring. Other parts of it where we're like really doing this very last fall harvest, we won't get cover crop in, but it is part of the other drive for like sweet potatoes getting out of the ground. Pretty much anything getting out of the ground is like, how much cover crop can we get in? Because we want that land to both have coverage in the wintertime, but also then for nutrients in the future.
Emily, if people want to sign up for the winter farm share here at Riverland Farm in Sunderland, are there still slots available?
Yes, it's going fast, but there are a few spots left, and the first distribution is next week.
If you don't happen to slide into one of the last open shares for the winter CSA at Riverland Farm, there's also a bunch of other local farms that offer winter shares, and you can find out all about those at buylocalfood.org.
Perfect.
Sweet potato.
Hey, baked potato. No? No Brack fans in? Okay, it's okay.
Brack? From Brack. Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
Yes! He has three albums and they're all gold!
Mashed potatoes! Hey, sweet potatoes!
The amount of love that I have for this album is just alarming.
A reminder that CISA is an underwriter of NEPM.